3, took a present from his daddy's hand. A genuine toy hammer, he started beating to beat the band. He hit the floors and the wall, broke a lamp in the hall, started swinging at the puppy's tail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Listen now, he was the president, number 44. He says, trust me, I'm here to help you. I have got some big, big plans. You're gonna love what I'm gonna do. There's no problem too big or small. He thinks he's got an answer that just can't fail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, he thinks big thoughts and he dreams big dreams, but it's another man's sweat that pays for those schemes. He don't care how the little people feel, 'cause saving the world is a big freaking deal. So he does his business behind closed doors and pretends that the world is just begging for more. When the stuff hits the fan, he says, don't look at me. If you got trouble, blame 43. Now Congress is saving Wall Street while they're watching Main Street fall. They got healthcare all figured out, but it don't seem to care much at all. As soon as they save this planet, they'll put the fire out in hell. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Yeah, they think big thoughts and they dream big dreams, but it's another man's sweat that pays for those schemes. They don't care how the little people feel, 'cause saving the world is a big freaking deal. They do their business behind closed doors and pretend that the world is just begging for more. When the stuff hits a fan, they say, don't look at me. If you got trouble, blame 43. There'll be a party come this November where we're gonna set things straight. All good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail. When we're holding a hammer, when we're
well, I'm back. Jack is back. If you don't know by now, you hear that song, look for me right around the corner, because I am usually right there. This is Jack Bauer. Name show is called The American Reconstruction Project. We got a couple of great guests on tonight. When we come, probably right after the first break, they'll be talking to us about income tax and how to beat the heck out of the IRS. That's always exciting for me. Before we get going, though, I need to give out my little disclaimer that you folks seem to like so much. It goes something like this. Anything you hear on the show tonight, please do not intend it to be used as legal advice. We don't give legal advice on this show, and for one reason, legal advice probably only works on a planet far, far away where law matters. It doesn't matter here. We show that on a weekly, daily, hourly basis. If you need some good legal advice, feel free to go out and hire some shyster. That might be an attorney who's more than willing to take all your money, probably take your car, take your house, take your kids, take your wife, take your dog, take your cat, and if you're just real lucky, just leave you out on the street. If you're not quite so lucky, he might even book you at the Gray Bar Motel. But that's up to you. Again, there's always Slippery Louie. He's willing to help steal your money also. So that being said, my guest tonight will be John. And I do apologize right off the get-go if I sound less than my perfect normal self tonight. I got a little bee sting or a stung earlier, and I'm not quite hitting on all cylinders right now. So take that apology. I think I'll make it through, but the Benadryl started to kick in, so I feel a little tired too. But you guys all hang on. We'll be right back after this first break, and we'll bring up my gentleman. Stick with me, guys.
That handle sticks on the passenger side. But she don't mind climbing in on mine, 'cause that's where she rides. I work the clutch and she shifts the gears.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
First break. This is Jack Bauer. The name of the show is called The American Reconstruction Project. I'm here every Saturday, same time, same station, same network. On the line with me tonight, I'm going to have John and Glenn. Not John Glenn the astronaut, but John and Glenn. We've got John up right now. Apparently, Glenn's having a few technical difficulties. John, are you with me? Hello, John.
Yes.
How you doing, John?
Great.
I hear you're quite the expert in this field that we're going to talk about tonight, and man, I'm hearing all kinds of good stuff about you. Everything, everybody under the sun except me, I guess, knew you. So I apologize for that because I try to stay on top of this as much as possible. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I appreciate it.
Glenn's having a few problems technically on his audio, so it's going to be just me and you to take off and start with here. Why don't you start by giving a little bit of background on what you're doing, how you're doing it, how long you've been doing it, and all that kind of neat stuff, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. I, about 35 years ago, I looked around and thought, well, gee, things don't seem to be working quite like I understand our Constitution says they ought to be. And so I started looking around and studying, and I went to a number of seminars by gurus on the taxes, and after a number of years, I concluded that, well, all those guys knew a lot of good stuff and a lot more areas than I did, that if the law was a yard long, each of them knew about 6 inches of it. And they wanted to cram everything into that 6 inches. So I concluded that if I was going to know anything about what was really going on, I was going to have to go find out for myself. So I started going to law libraries, and I spent thousands of hours in there. I'd go there I developed cataracts, so I couldn't read without shutting one eye and a magnifying glass on the other one. But I'd go spend 10, 12 hours a day in law library reading in our home. And I studied not only, I found out that the law isn't just the law, but there are different systems of law, like admiralty law and maritime law, and, of course, the main one, the common law and an equity law. But I also found out in England they had a couple of others, like the manorial law and the ecclesiastical law that governed marriage and all that good stuff. And then they had a system of law. There's
a box, and it says microphone, VA high density, Manicom, virtual microphone,
Glenn,
stereo mix, VA.
Glenn. Hello,
hey, Glenn.
Am I on now?
You're on now. How you doing, Glenn? Yeah, John here was telling us how he got started.
Am I on now?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are on. Can you
hang
hear me
on while I get my ears on? can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
I can hear you 5x5, as they say.
Perfect. Yeah, well, you were talking, and John was giving his history. Let John finish up where he was going and what he's been doing, and then I'll bring you on. Welcome to the show also, Glenn. Go ahead, John. Finish where you
Well, hell, if you let John finish, we'll never get through this program. he's got stories for days.
Anyway, this is everybody, Glenn. How you doing, Glenn? Welcome to the show. And
I guess I'm the technical dunce in this call.
I told you, give me a call. I'm the IT guy. So
I guess.
Anyway, John, you were saying you spent 1,000 hours in the law library, and your eyes got bad, and you had to use a magnifying glass.
Yeah, and I found out there were, of course, different systems of law, and one of them was known as the law merchant, and a subset of that known as the statute staple, because that was a system of law that was established by an enactment of Parliament back in 1353, when all the laws of England were written in French, and staple being French for market, that was a statute for the marketplace. In other words, it was a statute that governed, established a system of law along with the law merchant for the commodity traders of the day. And that will come into effect in a little bit when we get into this. So at any rate, as I did that study, I found out that I came across I read not only our statutes today in our law, but I went back to the old law and read in these different systems of law. And I found that a great case, and a case that absolutely is essential to understand our revenue law today, was a case back in 1856 by the name of Murray's Lessee versus Hoboken Land Improvement Company, where the Supreme Court first considered the meaning of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. And in there, they point out that because due process isn't defined in the Constitution, it takes the meaning it basically had in the laws of England. In other words, a process today to meet due process required by the Fifth Amendment must in principle conform to a process that was in use in England at the time of the American, or the Fifth Amendment was ratified in 1789, or 1791, I guess, Constitution 1789, and the Fifth Amendment, or the Bill of Rights, was ratified in 1791. And so then they went back and examined the old laws to see if there was a law to which the summary system that the IRS, or the government, uses to enforce its taxes, the summary being without giving you the benefit of a trial before they seize your property. And they found that there was, and therefore they found that process met due process. But they found not only that it did a process today to meet due process had to correspond to a process in England in 1789, but they found that it had to, that if it did, it was constitutionally the process that it mirrored. And the process they found that this, the government summary process mirrors was what was known as a statute staple contract. And that is, it was simply a contract that was written in accordance with this system of law established by the statute staple. And when you come down to it, we find that's what the Form 1040 is today. Now, doesn't matter that they call it a Form 1040 because it mirrors the statute staple contract in England at the time the Fifth Amendment was ratified. That's what it is, according to the Supreme Court in Murray's Lessee. But that's all sort of a complicated process, and we can get into it. But basically, we get to the very fundamentals of our law, and we find in the Declaration of Independence that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. And if the governed hasn't consented to it, the government cannot have a just powers. Now, hey, they may have some usurped unjust powers, but a just power must be by the consent of the governed. And consent is just another word for contract.
Right, right.
And
you know, John, I've had a guest on several times. I love the guy to death, Gordon Hall. And he's told me a dozen times, more than that at least, that you got to know a couple different things if you're going to win in court, in any court. You got to know contract law, you got to know common law, and you got to know where your rights are. And if you have those three elements in position, you're going to walk out of the victorious every single time.
Well, I don't agree with him. I agree with what he says should be.
Okay.
But if you really have that, like when I'm talking about tax law, the courts are duplicit in this thing, and you're going to have a hell of a tough time walking out of there, no matter that you know all of that. But we'll talk about that a little also. But when you get to contract, there are different systems of contract law, and contracts are divided up according to a number of different, you know, methods of examining them into different types of contracts. But there are two basic fundamental contracts that we need to understand. And number one, first one is that the Constitution is a contract. And this is explained in the Massachusetts Constitution. They point out that every individual is a contracting party, and he contracts with all of the other individuals or citizens who together are a contract party known as the people. And so that the Constitution is a contract whereby you agree that the people have certain rights against you that you've got to comply to. And when Congress enacts a law that is in accordance with the necessary and proper clause of the Constitution, it's a contract binding on the people. Okay?
Okay.
But, secondly, you may obligate yourself to the government on a private contract to duties or obligations that they have no constitutional authority to impose upon you.
Wow.
And we do that all the time. You go get a student loan. That's a contract with the government.
Right, right.
You enlist into the military. That's a contract with the government. It isn't imposed by the Constitution. That's
and as such, you shouldn't have. You can't be forced into any of the joining any of these contracts. This must be a voluntary process. Is that correct?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And the Supreme Court in the Murray's Lessee pointed out that in the 33rd year of Henry VIII. Now that means the 33rd year of Henry VIII. That's the way they identify statutes in England.
Well, John, hold that thought. We got a break coming up here, and as soon as we get back from it, I'm going to introduce Glenn and bring him in here also. Glenn, glad you finally made it. Welcome to the show. We'll
Thank
be right
you.
Back after this quick break.
On the passenger side, but she don't mind climbing in on mine, because that's where she rides. I work the clutch, and she shifts the gears.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, Jack, this is Jack, and I've got on the line with me, I've got Glenn Ambrose, and his friend John. John's been talking to us. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You got some technical difficulties all worked out, I hope?
Well, I'm ready to open up my own computer shop.
Yeah, I could tell you, anything you need on computers, just let me know, because that's my expertise. I'm all not right. Bright at things, but that's one of my I'm pretty sharp on. Anyway, John gave us his intro. Give us a little bit about yourself and all that kind of neat stuff, and we'll kick it in gear here.
Well, I met John in 1991. I was down in Bullhead City, Arizona, and I had a friend in my church who was driving without a driver's license and wasn't paying his taxes and all that. So the church elders asked me to go over and straighten out this kid. And so I went over and talked to him, and I'd gone to law school at UCLA for about a year, and I loved the study of law, but I didn't like how they twisted the laws around in our courts and so forth. So I knew a little bit about, you know, how to read a law book and stuff like that. So I went over and talked to this fellow, and he brought up a lot of questions I couldn't answer. So I went up to the library, the county library in Kingman, Arizona, and looked into all this stuff over Christmas 1991. And couldn't refute what he was saying. And in the meanwhile, in September of that year, I'd come across John, and he'd come down to traffic seminar where we were having a seminar where there was a guy coming in and going to teach us, you know, what was really going on with the driving laws and the traffic laws and that sort of thing. So John came down there with a friend of his, and spent about 3 or 4 days there. And as he was leaving, I said, John, do you happen to know anything about taxes? He said, oh, I know a little bit. He says, I'll send you a brief that I filed, that I drafted and gave to a buddy who was convicted of a failure to file. And after he filed this brief in court, the judge had found, you know, the judge had found him guilty. The jury had found him guilty. And the judge says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sentence you to 10 years and all that sort of thing, you know, for failure to file and evasion, all that sort of thing. But I'm going to suspend it all on condition that you file your tax returns. And so the guy walked out of the court that day after being convicted. And he filed the tax returns as John had recommended and never had any problem with them. So when I saw the brief that John had conjured up for the guy, now he didn't put the person's name on there. He took it off and called it the Thomas Jefferson brief. I gave it to an attorney that I was working with down there because I was working with an attorney on collection cases. I really do all the work and but file it under, you know, the attorney's name and all that sort of thing. A lot of collection cases down there. And I gave him this brief, didn't see him for a week. And a week later, I saw him up in the courthouse in Kingman. And I said, well, what'd you think about that, Ron? And he says, hey, the first day or two I read this, I thought the guy's nuts. He says, and I thought about it for a few days, and he says, you know, I realize he's cracked the code, but he says, Glenn, don't get me involved in it, because he says, I'll deny we ever had this conversation. I says, why is that? He said, if you don't know that about your government, how treacherous they can be, you don't know your government very well. Well, I was as innocent as a lamb, and like I said to John the other night, we had a friend over, we were talking about these things, and I said, before I met John, I'd never been in trouble with the law, never had a speeding ticket, never nothing. After John, hell, I've been in jail three or four times on traffic stuff and got 73 felonies on my record, 11 federal institutions around the country, 9 years in prison. I says, I got more felonies than Al Capone. Thank God for John. So that's my story in a nutshell.
I'm going to have a hard time making it through this hour. It's going to be a fun one. That's a great story.
I told Glenn, he had an awful boring life before he met me.
Well, you know, what I found to do, you got to make fun. You got to have fun with this stuff. There's no doubt about it. If you don't, you'll go postal and start shooting people.
You know, when I went into prison and I was looking at 9 years, John got 6 years, I got 9 years, but then the judge's name was Benson too, so I still wonder what was going on
there. A little hanky panky going on there. I got.
I don't know. I'm thinking John had a backdoor alley to it. But anyway, like you say, when you're looking at 9 years in prison, you can either shoot yourself in the head, which of course some do, or you can say, hey, this is my life for the next 9 years, and you just forget about the outside. You really have to, Jack. Otherwise, you will go crazy, and you just start to have fun. And prison was easy for me. I can't say I loved it, and I can't say I want to go back there, but it was not difficult because I just made I made the best of it. Oh, I got to tell you one more story.
All right. We got about older
white men, when they go to prison, are guilty of one of two things, either white-collar crime or child molestation. Now, white-collar crime, you know, that's fine, you know, Bernie Madoff and all that stuff. I mean, I don't think it's fine, but I mean, in terms of prison, no prison is going to mess with you. But child molesters, hey, they're at the bottom of the food chain. So.
Open target for anybody that has a chance.
Absolutely. So they said to me, were you a child molester? I says, you damn right I was. I says, I molested the IRS. And they says, well, that ain't a crime.
You know, John, what I've done is I've taken it to a whole nother level because cops pull me over. I have no license. I don't register my cars either. And when they pull me over, I beg them, please take my car. Take whatever you want. Arrest me, put in jail because I'm getting a little short of money and I need the funds. So the last time they put me, well, the only time I'm really, any time in jail was for 2 days, and it was for telling a judge to go F himself during the hearing, and he had no sense of humor. Hey, the call-in numbers, if you want to call in and ask questions, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Hang with me, guys. We'll be right back after the break.
Climbing in on mine, because that's where she rides. I work the clutch, and she shifts the gears.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Bouncing right back after that quick short break. This is Jack Bauer. Name of the show is called The American Reconstruction Project. On the lines with me tonight, I've got a couple of great guys. I'm liking everything I'm hearing so far. This is Glenn and John. Not John Glenn, the astronaut, but this is Glenn and John. Things are doing well. We've got liners, people calling in and wanting to ask questions. You guys let me know when you want to take a couple and want to lay a bit more of a foundation or... Because we got people wanting to talk to you.
A little more foundation.
All right, let's go ahead. It's your show, so you do your thing.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, 33 Henry VIII, that enactment, the Supreme Court found in the Murray's Lessee case in 1856 that that made Parliament, by that statute back in 1542, made specialty debts to the king. Statute staple contracts. Now, a specialty debt, even today, you can go into the law dictionaries and you'll find it's a contract where you acknowledge the debt and you sign it under seal. And on that type of contract, it requires no offer, no consideration, or no acceptance or consideration. It's determined by the form and the form alone. If the contract is in the form of the specialty debt, it is a contract. Now, the only two things in the form that requires is that it acknowledge a debt and it be signed under seal. Then all of the terms and conditions were set forth in another document known as recognizance, which was the statute for the staple. So when they agreed to this specialty debt to the king, They also agreed to all the terms and conditions that were set forth in the statute staple, and those were very onerous. In other words, you conveyed title to everything you owned and the right for the king to seize all of them and seize your body and hold it if you didn't timely pay the contract. And from them to satisfy that debt by the sale of your property or whatever you derive from your labor. Now, they also had a little condition in there that if you defaulted, you gave the king title, or the debtor gave the creditor the right to go and a power of attorney to go and file the default. So you didn't need to go get a judgment of default from the court. They could proceed immediately to get their execution writ. Well, that's exactly the way the IRS operates today. And people, they scratch their head and wonder how they can do that. But you look at the Form 1040, and you'll see you acknowledge your liability to the government, and you sign it under the penalty of perjury jurat. And in 28 U.S.C. 1746, they give that penalty of perjury jurat the force and effect of a seal or a notary, just like a notary public had sealed it. So it has all of the indicia and, in fact, is a statute staple, a specialty debt, and they give it the force and effect of this statute staple type of contract. Now, in that case, they also made a very, very interesting statement in that they said that there had always been this summary method of collecting the taxes, or the king had always had one, but it varied widely from the usual course of the common law on other subjects. Well, hey, that's telling you this is a common law process, but it's different than the common law process in other subjects. Now, in U.S. versus Bull, the Supreme Court explained this process, and that is that it just reversed the normal process of the common law. That is, normally they file a complaint against you. You get the right to answer it and deny it if you want to, and then you have a trial before you can get any judgment. But in the revenue laws, they gave the king his judgment by summary process. A statute staple contract itself was given the force and effect of a judgment. Then he assessed it. Assessment was a technical term in the exchequer. That was the Treasury Department of the king's. The assessment was a technical word denoting the recording of that judgment on the judgment roll of the Court of Exchequer. Exchequer had two different divisions, the Treasury side and then the common law court that heard all matters of the king's revenue. So you look at today, that's exactly what they do with the Form 1040. They got their judgment. That's the authority to enter an assessment. They make their assessment. Then, but at the common law, on the regular course, after judgment, you couldn't appeal at the execution stage. But in the revenue matters, they gave the king his judgment before any right to a trial. But at the execution stage, you could contest it, go into the Court of Exchequer, deny the debt, and make the king prove his claim in a trial by jury. Now, our revenue laws, if you go into the Internal Revenue Code today, you'll see that every one of those steps is written to mirror precisely the process of England. But they've sort of tricked us in that they don't use a statute staple. They identify it as Form 1040, so nobody knows what it is. And then when you get to the execution stage, before the king, if you didn't voluntarily pay after he sent you the notice and demand of the, you know, when assessment had been made, then before he could collect anything by levy, he had to send out what was known as a sieri fascis. Now, even today in our law, we have a sieri fascis in common law, and that is an action of common law based upon a previous judgment, and you can plead to it, and if you do, you have your trial by jury. And today, That's provided for in the Internal Revenue Code in Section 6331D. But they call it a notice of intention to levy, so nobody really knows that it's a Sierra fascist and they have a right to plead to it.
Wow. You're going to give us some of the information, or do you have a website or anything where a lot of this is on, or this is stuck in your head? Or?
Well, no, we have a book out called Taxation by Misrepresentation, where we explain this, and we point out that there's no way you can understand our revenue laws today if you don't understand the old English laws. And in there, we go through those and show what they were and how and what they conform to today, and so that a person can look at those. And once you understand what those processes were in England and those old authorities that the court cites in Murray's Lessee to learn what they were, and they're all out of print and have been for over 150 years. Took me better part of a year, but just to find them. But wow, we've got them all. And they wrote to be understood. Today they write these sections of the code to provide for that, but to write it so obscurely, nobody understands it except those who are going to enforce it. Once you understand those old authorities, you can see what a process is, and you can see right through it as to what it must do, and then fact that it does do that. And when you do that, hey, now you can understand that code very easily, and it becomes very obvious that it's a contract. And we'll get into that as we go here a little more.
Excellent. I mean, this is some great stuff. Give out where people, and go slowly, because I got people chomping the bit wanting this stuff already. Where can they get your book? How can they get your book? Give me all the information you can, because people are they're wanting it right now.
Let me do that, because I take care of the website. John,
how you doing, Glenn? I thought you maybe went to sleep back there.
Well, I was sleeping, but hell, John woke me up. The website is no1040tax.com. That's N-O, the numbers 1040. That's the form 1040 tax. .com, no1040tax.com. That'll lead you right to my website. And there's three books we talk about, two smaller books, and then his main book, Taxation by Misrepresentation. Now, I want to take a second and tell you that the e-book version of it is only $15. But printing, you know, is more expensive, and we got to mail it out and all that sort of thing. So it ends up around $32 to get a print book. So we've been beating on the publisher, and he's a son of a, well, I can't use the B word, but he's a rough dude. But finally he caved in, and he says, okay, if they'll come to my website, I'll give them a special where you can get the print book cheaper. You have to buy two of them, but it comes down to about $19 for the two for each book,
right,
instead of 15 books. And a lot of people like the print version, so I've got that special on there also. So if you go down to Taxation by Misrepresentation and read a little bit about it, you'll see where you can get either the ebook or the cheap the discounted version of the print book on no1040tax.com.
John, if you would back your mouth away from the mic a little bit, it's kind of popping and spitting. A little too close to your mouth. Clear that.
Is that John or me?
That was you, Glenn, I think. It was you that was just talking.
Okay, it's me. I guess I'm just a loud SOB, aren't I?
Now we could hear you chewing your dinner. It was a little. Anyway, do you mind if we take a call? We got about 7 minutes for the next break.
Yeah,
can we take a call?
Let's do calls.
Let's see, Crystal. Crystal, are you out there? Hello, Crystal.
Crystal.
Oh, I don't have any callers. I guess Crystal hung up. If you do want to call in and ask this question, that number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. If you just want to listen in, that number is 832-280-0800. That's 832-280-0800 or 786-265-1651. So, yeah, your mic sounds a lot better now, Glenn. Anyway, how long has your book been out? When did you write the books? Have you upgraded them, updated them? Where are we at with this?
Well, John wrote the book, our first publication of it was on the website in January of last years, so it's just over a year old. But the knowledge that is packed into that is just incredibly. I mean, I've devoted 22 years of my life, 73 felonies, and every other darn thing under the book, to support John's mission. You can't understand 800 or 900 years of old English revenue laws in sound bites, you know, for 10 minutes.
Sure.
They've written the tax code to mirror exactly what the king did in England to collect his debts. But they've done it so deceptively and with such a dreadful use of the language and words and so forth. For example, you sent me an email about somebody saying you could beat the tax court by getting the case dismissed. Well, here's the deal. In the Internal Revenue Code, they say if you get this notice of a proposed deficiency, you can either pay it and agree to it, which, of course, you're agreed to the contract, just like you said at the beginning of the program, or you can appeal it to, the quote, the proper court, including tax court. Well, those are simple words, but they're dreadfully deceptive because nobody knows that the proper court to challenge that is not the tax court, because once you the tax court only has jurisdiction if the petitioner, that is the supposed taxpayer, has paid the fee, the tax court fee, and filed a petition to be heard. But once they have that, they have jurisdiction. But that isn't the proper court to challenge the liability to the tax. That's the proper court to challenge the calculation of the tax. So if you want to challenge the calculation of the tax, by all means, go to tax court. If they made some errors in math and all that sort of thing, or they didn't give you their deductions and blah, blah, blah. But if you say, I don't owe the tax, you ain't going to get anywhere in tax court. You got to go to, quote, the proper court. But who knows where the proper court is? John can tell you where the proper court is, but there's nobody else in the United States that knows where the proper court is except for the people in the Treasury Department who put this stuff together. It's a deceptive thing. That IRS code is so transparent once you understand John's material, but it is very difficult to understand. But once you do, hey, that tax code opens up like a flower, and you'll understand it perfectly.
Well, it seems, so this is something you can also use in other types of court proceedings also. We got a couple more callers here lined up. Let's see if we can get, we got a few minutes left. Susan from New Jersey. Susan, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show, my dear.
Thank you. An interesting show.
Thank you.
And I have a question for your guest. What if you do not legitimately have the money to pay your taxes?
Well,
in other words, I was on unemployment until this August, and I went through quite a bit of savings up until now. I mean, I'm trying the best I can to get jobs, and I'm working cleaning homes and, you know, sitting for children, and I'm struggling just to keep a roof over my head.
Susan, they are merciless. This is Glenn. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me just—I know we're on a time schedule. They are totally merciless. They will have no more feelings for you than the man in the moon. Although you can go to the what they call the taxpayer advocate or taxpayer ombudsman. You know, it's a funny word, but you can go to the taxpayer and make some arrangements with them. But they are really merciless when it comes to folks like you who are legitimately having problems. Look, I want to just talk about the fact that this is characteristic of the world, Susan. If you read anything about what's going on over there in Cyprus, hey, what that's all about is they just wanted to take these people's money without ever consulting with them. People with $25,000, $2,000, $250, they were going to take 10% or 6 or 7% of their money without their even thinking about it.
Right. Didn't they actually do that already? Or I know they had a lot of people up there.
The parliament of the Cyprus. Country Cyprus revoked. You know, they wouldn't go along with it. So they're duking around. But the truth of the matter is that there was somebody, there was an article on the internet that somebody had made a $900 million bet that the euro, which is the thing, the currency they use over there, was going to go down in 2 weeks, or 2 months or whatever it was. And they said, hey, and if it did go down like that, they would make billions. They said, well, would it surprise you to know that maybe the people inside Cyprus, the higher-ups, made the bet against their own country, let it go down, make billions, Glenn, and bail themselves out?
Glenn, if you would, give out your website again. I think they've got it, but I want to make sure you get it. And go slow with it.
It's no1040tax.com. N-O, the number's 1040tax.com. No1040tax.com.
Stick with me. Saying, guys, Susan, you want to hang on? We'll bring you right back after the break. Stick with me. We'll be right back after this break.
Climbing in on mine, because that's where she rides. I work the clutch, and she shifts the gears.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Well, bounce. Great. Susan, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Jesse, I've got Jesse on the line there, too. I'm going to hold him over until the next hour after the next break. Go ahead, Susan. We got about 3 or 4 minutes before we have to do another break.
So what I'm understanding is if I don't have, I'm even afraid to go on and see how much I owe. If I don't have the $800 or whatever to send them this year, what are they going to do to me? Or if I don't file, how many years will it be for them to come after me?
Well, typically,
I have paid my taxes religiously, by the way.
Sure.
Exorbitant amounts. I had a corporate job at one point.
It takes some
I paid exorbitant property taxes and every other tax that...
Okay, hold on a second, Susan. He's going to answer your question for you.
It takes typically two or three years for them to catch up with you if you don't file. I don't, you know, neither John nor I recommend that you you not file, so that's not the point. But you can, Susan, you can go to the taxpayer advocate and you can...
Is that taxpayeradvocate.com?
I don't know, but call up any IRS number you see on the Internet or something like that and ask for them, and they'll tell you. And you go to the taxpayer.com.
Deal with the IRS on this issue.
It's the only way to do it unless you want to get an attorney.
Get information. That's what I'm saying. To find out what...
If you go to them, they will make some arrangement for you to make monthly payments or some kind of program that you can live with.
Difficult. But what if you can't afford the monthly payment? What you're making keeps the roof over your head and the car and the insurance just to get you to work.
Oh, I know. My heart goes out to you.
That's what he's saying, Susan. They're ruthless. They don't care. You can be on your deathbed, and they're going to be there with their hands out. So I haven't filed or paid anything since 82.
Gosh, don't admit it on the program. They'll indict you.
Everybody and his brother knows it because I don't make any income.
Well, and you don't drive with a driver's license, so you're a real wild one, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
For the unemployment, the $12,000 up until last August, and a couple of thousand that I made.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, Susan, go to his website. It's going to be probably your best bet. The electronic form of a book sounds like the best bet to understand.
I cannot afford to buy any books. I wish I could, but I cannot.
Okay. Well, thank you, Susan. Did that? I hope we answered your question just a little bit.
Yeah,
Jack, let me say a little bit along the lines that the only require or the authority in the Internal Revenue Code for the government to make an assessment of an income tax is found in section 6201 of the code, and it authorizes them to assess the amount that a person self-assesses himself on a return. If a person has not self-assessed himself on a return, they have no authority to make an assessment. Now, that return has got to be voluntary. But
We've got the final break of the hour coming up. Stick with us, guys. I'm going to bring Jesse up right after the next hour. So stick with me, so we'll be right back.
From his daddy's hand. A genuine toy hammer. He started beating to beat the band. He hit the floors and the wall, broke a lamp in the hall, started swinging at the puppy's tail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Listen now, he was the president, number 44. He says, trust me, I'm here to help you. I have got some big, big plans. You're gonna love what I'm gonna do. No problem too big or small. He thinks he's got an answer that just can't fail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Now more than